reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple there whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we rejoice at the canonization of Saints Francisco and Jacinta. They're canonized not just because they were lucky. Sometimes we can get that impression. Hey, Bernadette's a saint. Juan Diego's a saint. Catherine Laboure is a saint. Can't we have the shortcut and just have Our Lady appear to us so that we can become a saint too? That's not the way it works. We know with Maximin Giraud and Melanie Calva, the seers of the approved apparitions, for example, in La Salette, they were not canonized because they didn't do what Juan Diego or Bernadette or the new Saints Francisco and Jacinta did, which was correspond wholeheartedly to what Mary was asking, no hesitation, being all in. Today we rejoice because Francisco and Jacinta and their cousin Lucia, who will, within the next 10 years, join them at the altar, I'm convinced. There have already been the miracles, and when her anniversary was celebrated in February, they accepted the decree of heroic virtue. So she will not be long to be associated with them formally at the altar. But these three shepherd children corresponded with all they had to what Our Lady was asking. And so today, as we celebrate this centenary of Our Lady's apparitions, we can look at them and the way they responded to the message of Our Lady and ask how we're doing and how much we need their help to be able to respond as well as they did in their childlike simplicity. What was Mary's mission? It was a maternal mission to come to bring us back to what the mission of her son was. Today's gospel, we have this passage from the cross in which Jesus tells us all to behold our mother. First reading from the book of Revelation, we see a woman about to give birth. Birth not only to her son, but to her son's mystical body. That's what was happening at the cross. And that's why there were the pangs of childbirth. Calvary was painful, whereas Bethlehem was not. Pope Francis this morning, in Fatima, when he canonized Francisco and Jacinta, he started his whole homily with this maternal dimension of Mary's mission. She comes as a loving mother, wanting us, as St. John did, fully to receive her and her message and her call and her love within the deepest of our home, interiorly. She first asked that they pray, that they make a commitment to pray with their hearts as well as with their flesh, prayer and sacrifice for the conversion of sinners. She asked them to pray the rosary, teaching them in one of the most endearing scenes in hagiography how to pray the rosary aright, because as you probably know, they had received this tiny little flyer of how to pray the rosary, and all it said was to save space and ink, Pai Nosu, Ave Maria, Dei Vesis, e Gloria. So they prayed the rosary in less than a minute. Pai Nosu, Ave Maria, Ave Maria, Ave Maria, Ave Maria, Ave Maria, till the Gloria, and then they just repeated it five times, and that was the rosary, so that they could go out and play. She wanted to teach them how to pray the right way. They had the heart to pray. They just needed a teacher. And what a teacher God gave them in order to pray. How much do we pray? How much do we pray for the reparation of that flows from all the offenses given to God? How much do we pray for the conversion of sinners? I think one of our particular diseases today, and it's probably a disease at every age in the church's life, is rather than pray in reparation when something happens, we complain and we lament. One of our first responses always has to be to console the Lord with prayer in reparation. If we hear about a sin somebody's committed, our first reaction should be this reparation. If we hear about a priest or a religious who leaves or does something idiotic, first should be a prayer of reparation. Every time we hear the sad news that a woman has taken the life of her own baby, prayer of reparation. Because the one who feels this most is the Lord. And so Mary came to these three little kids, three relative nobodies, in an out-of-the-way farm in a place in Portugal basically not even on the map, because she knew that she could get that type of response and send in response to her message, that type of receptivity. And they began to pray immediately. Instead of all their sort of childish games, they started to use their free time to pray. Francisco would play hooky from school so he'd be able to go to the local church and talk to Deus Escondido, Jesus Escondido, the hidden Jesus, as he called him in the tabernacle. Jacinta, who had such a vivacious personality, Jacinta began to mortify herself like crazy for this intention. And when she saw that image in July of O Coitadinho Senhor Padre, the Santo Padre, the really poor, helpless Holy Father being murdered and having his white cassock stained in blood, she started to offer all types of heroic sacrifice for him. First response to Our Lady, whose message has never expired, is for us to pray the rosary better, to make that petition that we link the mysteries with that she taught us in Fatima more and more powerful, more and more an expression of what we're begging God. Oh my Jesus, forgive us our sins. We're uniting with the whole world, but we're calling forward our own sins. Save us from the fires of hell, as she showed the three separate children. It is a real possibility. And when they saw that possibility, they meant these words. Lead all souls to heaven. It's the greatest prayer that we make. Prayer for the salvation of everyone, especially those in most need of your mercy. That we have a special place in our prayer for those who need God's mercy the most. Through the intercession of Francisco and Jacinta, let's ask for greater response. Second thing Mary asked there was consecration to her Immaculate Heart. And I think that this is one of the most important things in any private revelation. Private revelations, you know, don't give us any new theology per se. Any new definitive revelation does give us the interpretation of it, which would be theology and the application of it, so forgive me for that. But they don't give us any new, but there's a reiteration of things that in the public revelation that we need to live better in a given time. That's all theologically true. But there's an insight so far beyond what had been given before that if there would be any candidate for a new way to live out our faith that we really should do, it came here. In response to the three terrible visions of hell, of the progress of atheistic communism and the destruction would wreak throughout the world, as well as the persecution of the church in a whole city leading up to a cross on a hill full of the cadavers of religious and priests and faithful lay people and that assassinated bishop in white. Mary said that the response that God was asking was not merely prayer. It wasn't Eucharistic adoration, as fitting as that would be. It wasn't to read and live the Word of God better, as fitting as that would have sounded. It was a way to do all of these things and more. Mary asked for consecration to her Immaculate Heart, because the person had to be transformed from the inside out. There needed to be a total renewal. It wasn't just a series of practices she was asking. She was trying to bring about new beings in her son, and the way that that would start would be the heart, because the heart seeks where the treasure is, and there was going to be a new content of that treasure. Pope Benedict, in words I've never been able to forget, when he wrote in 2000 the interpretation of the message of Fatima and the revelation of the third part of the message, he described about Mary's heart that a heart that's pure like hers is stronger than all the bullets in the world. It's a heart that says yes to God. It's a heart that treasures the Lord within. It's a heart that's pure and sees God, particularly in others. It's a heart that's steadfast. It's a heart that's loving. It's a heart that's ultimately faithful, that says fiat. Mary asked consecration, so we had a chance to ponder deeply during the year of consecrated life. This is a real entrustment. This is a belonging. This is a cutting ourselves off, satchir, from lots of other things in order to be with the Lord. Consecration to Mary's heart, to cut ourselves off from lots of extraneous things, to entrust ourselves to her, to be with her, so that within her consecration we can enter into her son's consecration that he gave to the Father in the Last Supper, so that we might be consecrated in the truth, so that we might be truly holy. Today would be a beautiful day for us to renew our consecration to Our Lady. And the way I do it each day is with the words of St. John Paul II, because it talks specifically about that heart Mary wants to give us. Totus tuus ego sum, I'm all yours, Mary. Et totum mea tua sunt, and all I have is yours. Accipio te in mea omnia, today's gospel. I accept you into the totality of who I am. I welcome you into my home. Praebe mihi cor tuum, O Maria. Give me your heart, Mary. The second aspect of today that Jacinta and Francisco and Lucia, they responded wholeheartedly and are interceding for us, likewise, to do. Today, as we celebrate the centenary, let's remember that Mary is the highest honor of our race, the highest honor of the human race, who comes continuously into our world precisely in order to help us to respond fully to the hope her Son has placed in us. We only know a handful of kids who lived 100 years ago. We could go through and we could pick out probably some figures of the 20th century and say they were little kids. But of all the little kids who died 100 years ago, how many are still remembered? Yet three shepherd children are among the most famous people who had lived, because God wanted it that way, so that they could become examples by their response to Our Lady. Today we ask them to help us so that we with all might be led to salvation, because we know we are especially in need of God's mercy. Let's ask them never to stop praying for us from Jesus' eternal right, so that we might totally convert to the plans of the Lord and, like them, bear fruit. Let us never forget that our prayers, even here at Mass, are consequential, as John Paul II illustrated when he went to Fatima. That Jacinta's prayers for the Corte de Dinu Santo Padre saved his life, and that their prayers in consecration for Russia brought down the Iron Curtain. Let us pray with that same confidence that God wants to hear our prayers as we receive that Jesus escondido, that hidden Jesus within us, that was the real source and summit, not just of Francisco, but of the three Pastorinos' life. Praise be Jesus Christ.
And forever.